Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the Gareth Cliff Show live this morning on The Real Network with producers furiously doing things in the background. Oh, this is not connected. That is not connected. So hence our 6 minutes past five start. Sorry. There are already calls for punishment going on in the background. Somebody says here, for every minute past six, we need lashes. You see, there's really no rest for the wicked on this show. But James and Flex, ready to go, and we are too. I've brought into the studio today my oldest friend. Yes, really, he is. I have known him since he was a baby, and I've known his parents since I can remember people. He's known me since I was, what, two or three. And we're basically like cousins, even though we're not actually cousins, but we treat each other as if we were. And I don't have any first cousins, so it's about the closest relative outside of my brother and sister and mom and dad that I have. And nice. It is none other than Nicholas Clother Sinclair.
Good morning.
And there he is. Hello,
good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Thank
you. Look very fresh and ready for the day.
Yes, very fresh and very ready.
The sun has got his hat on.
Yes, hip, 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 hooray.
The sun has got his hat on.
He's coming out to play. Let's do it.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit about what Nick does. And he's got lots and lots of interesting stories and things to talk about this morning, even though he said to me, what? Talk about things? What? What? Just, I'll just go with your flow. So we've got a flow. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we will have Zelda Lachransi, who is, of course, the former PA of Nelson Mandela, who, of course, was our former president, just in case you've woken up under a rock that's been there for 40 years. And when Zelda was his PA, she was probably one of the most powerful people in the world. I mean, controlling access to him was like being a dragon gatekeeping a treasure. And she's since then had some very interesting adventures. She writes about them in her new book, which we'll be talking to her about. It's called What Mandela Taught Me, because she tells some pretty scary stories of how things can unravel thanks to social media these days. And also, I suppose there's a case in point, a lesson for all of us, the dangers of what can go wrong on social media and how she had to navigate those things through the course of the last 5 or 6 years. Lots to talk to her about. I haven't spoken to Zelda in ages, so it'll be nice to catch up with her too. And the comment section alive and well this morning. I see there's someone called Makawe who's just for the first time watching us live. So it's always nice to welcome someone who doesn't know how badly this can go wrong. This is my first time watching on YouTube. I've always listened via Spotify since June last year. Good morning. So morning to you and everyone else who's up bright and early. We got some rain yesterday for the first time.
Absolutely. What a relief.
What a relief. Everywhere, everybody went, and the air feels cleaner and it's not as muggy and dirty and dusty. See, if you don't live in Joburg, you don't know how awful that winter dust is. And by the time you get to October, everything's covered in a layer of it, no matter how much you...
Including your teeth.
no matter how fastidious you are, it becomes an absolute nightmare. So very good news all around. I think everybody's excited about that. Okay, so a few things. Just to give people a bit of context, I already explained that Nick and I have known each other for 1,000 years, and our families have been friends for 1,000 years. We actually found out a while ago that my grandmother and your great grandmother knew each other at some point. So it's yes. Generations and generations of Cliff and Sinclair.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very good. So what are you doing at the moment, and how can I explain it to people? You're a coach, but you don't just coach people in that. This is how you can be a positive and happy person.
Yes.
Because that would be very exhausting. And
yes.
And frankly, there's some people you can't help. Do you think there are people you can't help?
Well, everybody's helpable, I think, if they want to be helped. I think the choice really lies with them. At the end of the day, it's everybody's changeable and capable of change. They've got to want to change.
So what kind of people do you coach? Because you don't just take people off the street.
No. The coaching that I do is very, very much based on people that have reached a level in their life where they are feeling like they are ready to get to the next level, to do the next thing, but don't just can't sort of break through that ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get there by themselves. We've, you know,
all been there.
Doesn't matter how many things they try, how many YouTube tutorials they watch, what they research, how many books they read.
Yeah.
The consumption of information doesn't move them forward.
Yeah.
And what I do is I work with those people to understand what the base conditionings, the underlying belief systems are that are lying dormant in their subconscious, and help them to shift those in order to see the way to get going.
How do you break through that stuff? Because for some people, it's so frustrating that they go round and round in circles for years. I know it's happened to people. I know it's happened to me at some points in my life too, where you just feel, you feel stuck.
Yeah.
As you're saying, you try to get unstuck, but it doesn't matter what you do. You just find yourself going into old patterns.
Well, the reality of an old pattern is it's being driven by an old belief system. So a very simple mechanism would be, let's say money.
Mm.
If somebody's struggling to make more money,
Everybody feels that way.
Well, I mean, that's why I picked it. I mean, it's a hot topic at the
Absolutely,
moment.
Absolutely, yeah. And no one goes, you know what, actually, I'm perfectly happy. I've got enough money. I mean, even Elon Musk runneth over. So even Elon Musk is sitting in some part of America at the moment going, I've got to keep working. I've got to send rockets into space. I've got to invent high-speed trains between LA and San Francisco. I've got to provide satellite to people in hurricane riddled Northwest America. I've got to help people with, robots. They've just brought out robots that will eventually be our house servants. He could have stopped a while ago and gone, about what, 100 billion's enough.
Yeah. Well, I think that now that you've brought Elon into the example, it's kind of lost its momentum.
Sorry, bit of an outlier.
The example's kind of lost its momentum because he definitely doesn't have any conditionings or belief systems that are preventing him from making money.
No, but in fact, what you're talking about, though, is mental models.
Well,
and he's become like a master at breaking old and no longer useful mental models.
Quite right.
And moving on to new ones.
Quite right.
I'm sure there was a point where he also thought, yeah, I'll just be a gamer, or I'll just design some very cool, computer program that can, he did that effectively with, payment programs once, but he didn't stay there.
Or he was just brought up in a way where he was taught not to linger on things that were worrying him. So, he doesn't have a mind that latches onto a conditioning and feeds it, nourishes it because it keeps him safe. So an ordinary person, okay, and I say ordinary in the loosest possible terms because that includes you and I and most sure. people that are listening.
Yeah.
An ordinary person would read the Rich Dad, Poor Dads, do the courses, go to the seminars where they hype you up and make you dance to Jerusalem and high-five each other, and you leave feeling fucking inspired.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you get in your car and you go, well, I still don't know how to make that. I'm feeling great. And I've high-fived 500 people, but I still don't quite know how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is you've got to get down to what it is that's going on. And it could be as simple as a belief system that is money is hard to make. And you are existing in a world where your belief system is, I love doing what I do, but money is hard to make.
Mm-hmm.
Money is hard to make. Money is hard to make.
You repeat these mantras.
Correct. No. The confirmation bias in your mind finds evidence for you of how hard mm-hmm. money is to make, and that becomes your reality. You struggle to make money. It's about shifting those narratives, shifting the way you look at the world, shifting the way you engage with what your mind is doing, and make a different choice.
So when you're coaching people, to go back to my question about who they are, these are people who often are in very important, high-powered jobs. And even though they're doing really interesting and stimulating things, and they've got important decisions that have far-reaching consequences to make, they feel like they've plateaued, like they've hit the skids, like they're just not going anywhere.
And a lot of them have chronic imposter syndrome.
That is such a big problem.
Chronic.
In business, in social settings, people can't have relationships because they're in imposter syndrome all the time, right?
And Gareth, let's normalize that. It's not, you don't have to be there's no type of person that has imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is a mechanism that's designed by your subconscious mind to keep you in a status quo that it knows it can keep you safe in. If you were able to just do whatever you wanted to do, whenever you wanted to do it, your brain would go into a panic mode because it would constantly be dealing with things that it didn't know how to control. Its primary responsibility is to keep you safe. And anything unknown is foreign. And what it will do is it will create a movie for you, a fear-based movie. And imposter syndrome is one of those. You shouldn't be here. Are you mad? You're going to be laughed out of the room. Who do you think you are to be able to do this? Just shh and go back to doing what you were doing before because it's safe there. How nice.
Yeah, keep quiet.
Just keep
your head down.
Keep your head down.
Yeah.
You know, and those are all the sorts of things. So, yes, I coach people like that, but I coach people across the spectrum. I coach young adults that are 17 years old that are finishing their matric and going into university that are feeling lost because they're on Instagram and they see these revolting young people moving from yacht to yacht.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 5-second clip that is indicative of a lifestyle, but they're cleaning the docks. They snuck onto somebody else's yacht and took a shot, okay, to get 5 million likes, and they're ruining people's lives.
Mm-hmm. But what you said about imposter syndrome, it's bad enough that you've got that going on in your own head. To then also have other people in society, because societal pressure is a real thing and peer pressure is a real thing. And I think that there's always a tendency to latency. So people will say, yes, but actually, you know, you should be happy with what you've got. Just be grateful with what little
bullshit.
You have. Well, this is how people are. You and I don't approve of it. And I think it holds many millions of people back. But there's also the social pressure of, ooh, don't stick your head up too far off the above the parapet wall, or you might be taken out by the cannon fire.
Those are the conditionings that are taught to us by our parents, by our grandparents, by our uncles, by our teachers.
Careful what you say about our parents. They'll take it up violently on us.
Okay, well, let's say parents, and it's not born out of a desire to keep us stuck.
Yeah.
It's born out of a desire to keep us safe, to manage our expectations. Don't aim so high for that project, Mark, boy.
You know? Congo Chris says, can Nick coach James to take better care of his vehicle? So, James, do you want to stand up for yourself here? You did try to clean your car. Please get the picture as proof. Shame, he tried to clean his car. And what happened? I mean, James's car hasn't been cleaned since, I don't know, March.
How revolting.
Yeah, easily. I mean, Flex, am I being unfair? Last year. So since last year, he hasn't washed his car. And then on the day he does... And he even takes a picture and he's so proud and he sends it to me. The heavens open and all of his work is for naught.
Well.
See, coach him. Where do we start with someone like that? Terrible. Get that picture so people can see we're not making it up. Very, very good. I work with a lot of smart software engineers, says JP, and leaders. Sometimes I feel, am I even experienced enough to have imposter syndrome?
Well,
that's the thing. Look at that car. It's clean-ish. But is this after or before it's been in the rain?
No, this was before.
Okay. All right. Well, not too terrible.
It's not too bad.
No. And also, it's a darker color, so it shows it up more. You know, if you just had a silver tin can.
Yeah, the mental picture I had was far worse. It's not too bad, James. Yeah. No coaching required.
Yeah, you see. There we go. You're safe. You're safe. All right, so leave James alone is the comment from Polyfiller, which is very, very funny because Polyfiller, of course, closes up all the cracks. Bitcoin Butt says the best part was... Oh, no, hang on. That's got some other conversation going on. Good and clean and fresh, says Barely Vocal Media. Okay, let's just leave the comments because I don't think they make any sense this morning. I have a few things to show you. Nick is a cat person. He has two cats.
Yes.
Very, very spoiled cats.
Yes.
With personalities this big.
Oh, my babies.
So I have this video which will show you how cat people can go completely off the reserve. And I'm always worried when someone says they have more than two cats. Two's fine. If you have more than two cats.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope. And these people always end up being a complete disaster. So watch this video. This is at a cat convention, and they have people who do cat-ioke.
Oh, no.
This is going to be embarrassing, all right?
Oh, my God.
Are you ready?
Okay, go.
Take a look.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Okay, so I don't know what's worse about that clip, the actual meow, 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 which is all they say, but it's karaoke, but you just go meow, 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 meow. Terrible. All those various songs, all terrible. There wasn't one good one. But there's also a guy in a red dressing gown with Cat Lady on the back of it who dances to all of them. He's obviously the MC or the program director or whatever it is. And in the background, the whole thing is sponsored by Cat IT, but it looks like Cat It, Cat Tit. I don't know what to make of this, but I don't think it's good. Whatever is going on there is not good.
I'm actually struggling to find a response to that. I mean, I admire their courage. I admire their confidence. There's certainly no confidence coaching required there.
You're being very positive.
I mean, you know, that it reminds me of those people who do the hobby horsing.
Yes, the ones who pretend they're on a horse.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know that sport, supposedly.
Well, that was quite sweet. You know, when your sister and my baby cousins were doing it around the garden in their sixes and sevens, you know, when you've got grown ass adults on a broomstick that has a
horse head on it,
a teddy bear horse head on it, and they're galloping around, and it's fine to do that, but they make the noise. They go. And as they go around.
All right, so that's too much cat.
That's too much cat.
And we're not even talking about the cat that people take
because
the
that
drug.
Wasn't even
but a, it could be. No, well, it could be. They could be related.
Well, that wasn't about cats. That was about people trying to be cats. They were singing karaoke going meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
So they think they're cats.
Is that video from a mental institution, says Dear Linda? And before that, someone said asylum stuff. And obviously, these people are... They might not all be crazy. I mean, they might just be having fun. Maybe they're drunk. But it's a cat convention, and I suppose the more extreme you are, the more attention you'll get.
I suppose you could apply that to anything, really. It's like anything, really. You know, it's like these cosplay events.
Yeah, they had Comic-Con here in Johannesburg a couple of weeks ago. And some people dressed up to the nines. We had Mash here in the studio the other day, and he said he got fully dressed up. He went as, what was it? Deadpool. Yeah, Deadpool.
I'd buy into that.
The full thing. That's cool.
I think that could be cool. When it becomes a problem, have you seen the clip? Have you seen the clip of the gonk who was cosplaying and found the dead body in the park? The decapitated body.
No.
Like, yes.
Already.
And he was being interviewed by the police and he was saying, well, I'm a sorcerer mage. And I really thought I was far more powerful than I actually am because I found him and I cast a spell and he didn't come back to life. But I think that might have had something to do with the fact that his head had been cut off. And then my friend, who's a wizard, also came and tried to cast an enchantment. And now the police are furious with us because they say we've contaminated the crime scene because the wizard's spell used a lot of glitter. And the fact that they were so involved in their cosplay, they couldn't tell that there was a man who had his head chopped off in the park. You've got to find that clip. It's absolutely hysterical.
But that's obviously these people have gone beyond.
That's why I say
they start believing
it becomes it becomes and can become unhealthy. It was very funny though.
I met someone once who thought they were Lord Sauron from Lord of the Rings.
No.
Mm-hmm. Didn't break character. So for the first 5 minutes, it was very entertaining. Hi, Lord Sauron. I was introducing Lord Sauron to lots of other people, and he'd go, "Hello, I'm Lord Sauron." And then after about 5 minutes, I thought, he realizes it's not funny anymore, or he doesn't, because he keeps going. And then eventually, it's not so cool. You want to get away, and you don't want other people who you think are nice people to go too close, because something strange could happen.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a tricky, these kinds of things were never an issue before the internet, because now on the internet, those people can find each other, those whack jobs. So the guy in the forest with the wizard friend.
Yes, shame.
They would never have found each other in the old days, because each village would have burnt each of them. Right? So the villagers would have taken care of their nutcases.
Yes, shame.
They would have put them in an asylum, and maybe they would have met in the asylum, but it's safe there.
Yeah.
Because in the asylum, they're all in padded cells and padded jackets, and they can't get out and terrorize the community. But now, thanks to the internet, you can believe you're Lord Sauron, and you'll find other people on the internet who will play the role of your orc army. Yeah,
buy into that narrative.
And before you know it, you think you actually are, and you start to behave like that in real life. And maybe you do decapitate someone. Wouldn't be too far down the road. Tell you what, there's some very, very mad people. And America's got a big problem with this at the moment, because they shut down all their mental asylums. Now all those crazy people live on the streets as homeless people.
Why did they shut down all their mental asylums?
Because they thought, well, this is not right. You know, people should be reintegrated back into society. They just need a bit more therapy. They just need a blanket. They just need a warm meal.
They just need a helmet.
Just an omelet. If someone just unscrambled their omelet, they'd be okay. But this is what's actually happening in the world. So there are a lot of nutcases on the loose. Okay, one person who's not a nutcase. I loved the movie Pulp Fiction turned 30 this year. Can you believe that? Pulp Fiction, the movie, is 30 years old. Quentin Tarantino's greatest movie. Of course, featuring John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson. And Samuel L. Jackson posted this yesterday, which I thought was very cute. He can still do the line from his character in Pulp Fiction from memory. I suppose actors can do this better than anyone else. But here he is reciting Ezekiel 25:17.
The path of the righteous man is set on all sides, but the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. I'll strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger at those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. You will know my name as the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. The path of the righteous man is set on all sides, but the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny. Again.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let me see if I can do this. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the weak and the tyranny of evil men. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious glory, furious anger, those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I rain my vengeance down upon thee.
That's
something like that.
Very good.
Yeah. But I watched Pulp Fiction, I don't know, and this was considered cool before you could show people memes, before we had phones. That's how old I am. We used to make our friends laugh. I know it's a novel idea. Kind of come up with your own ways of making your friends laugh. And sometimes reciting a line from a movie in the accent of the actor was a way to make yourself popular. Who knew?
Who knew?
Doesn't work anymore. Now you go, look at my meme. Or you just forward it to someone. You don't even see them. You're not even in the same room. Just forward it to them. And then they go, lols. And that's how you become very popular. Very disappointing. Humans, I'm disappointed in you. All right. Another quick thing. This is a very, very interesting thing. I've never really been... I didn't need to be convinced of this, but German efficiency is obviously well known all over the world.
Right.
The Germans do things better than anyone else. Now, here is a Frau who's busy tidying up after obviously some kind of Oktoberfest, beer fest thing. It is October now. So she has a unique and clever way of tidying up after all the people have left the Oktoberfest. And here she is. This Frau has got the right way of doing things. German efficiency in one short video. Es war pünktlich und tüchtig und dichtig und genau. So here she is. Take a look.
Ooh, baby, ich hab Maximum Risk. Ich bin nicht ihr Fitnesstrainer, trotzdem mach ich sie fit. Angu, sie hat mich heiß gemacht wie ein Herd. Ich bin wie ein alter Streit, denn sie hat mich geklärt. Blatsch.
That's amazing. And as you can see from her outfit, she's got hammers and
yes,
and
the full kit,
rulers and dishcloths, and I mean she's got an entire inventory in her tool belt, and she just kicks the end of the bench, tips it up, puts it on the table, and the other guy goes, "Wow!" And she goes, "But this is normal." Look at her! I think that's incredible. How clever! All right, so there we go. Well done, the Germans, winning again. Yes. All right. Do you know what? Speaking of the Germans, do you know what a Bundt cake is?
It's the cake with the hole in the middle.
That's right? The one. That's the one.
Thank you.
A
so
Bundt
much.
Cake, correct.
I remember that from my big fat Greek wedding.
Correct. So he has a Bundt cake, but I'm not really a foodie, but this was beautiful. It's very, very nice to see. So look at this. Someone posted this and sent me the link, and I thought, wow, it actually does look pretty incredible. And I love seeing beautiful things happen. Like when you see a waterfall, or you see someone who's done the most amazing Lego construction or whatever, and then, you know, they do something with it, like they switch on the lights and it all comes to life. Look at what happens with a small, humble Bundt cake.
This feels like a trick.
Okay, no, it's not a trick. Oh. Look.
Oh.
Oh, look, there's really the Bundt cake. Look, 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 and oh, isn't that pretty? Right.
Human nice. Beings are clever when they want to
isn't
be.
Isn't that great? A Bundt cake. Who knew that your Wednesday morning would be improved by some person who beautifully poured some caramel into a Bundt cake?
I always wonder when I see things like that, when who decided to do that? Who was the first person that actually thought, I'm going to make a cake, I'm going to put ridges on it, but they're going to be curved, so when we pour the sauce, it spirals round.
It's beautiful.
I like it.
I like it too. That's the kind of thing we need. All right. Speaking of things we need, I have made tremendous progress with my vegetable garden. You know, we had the gardener on last Monday, and she told me, she's the woman who does the gardener show on the Home Channel, and she has a magazine called The Gardener. Tanya Fisser is
right,
her name.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Tanya is well-known in this country, and she was terrific, by the way. If you haven't watched the interview, you need to go and listen, because I got my vegetable garden planted just before the rain. So yesterday, I finally did the last bits before the rain came, which is apparently perfect, perfect timing. So you get all that magical stuff from the rain that you don't get from water that comes out of a tap. You know, yeah, the nitrogen. Yeah, all the stuff from the electricity in the air. Yeah. And yeah, it's very, very exciting. So I can't wait. I'm going to have a farm before the end of this week.
Fantastic.
Well, not before the end of this week. Have you got the picture of one of the beds? Look at that. Isn't that looking pretty? And she told me you must mix it all up.
All the vegetables mixed
all
up.
All the different vegetables. So you've got, I've got parsley, celery, carrots, lettuce, basil, mint. There's some seeds in
you've
there
got
too, cucumbers.
Well, you're going to have rabbits.
Tomatoes.
They're going to come and eat your vegetables.
Well, I don't have rabbits. So
aren't there rabbits where
there
you live?
There were rabbits, but they were taken by birds of prey.
Went to rabbit heaven.
Yeah, went to rabbit heaven. Right. But don't you think that looks nice? That's one of the beds. There are four.
Gareth, very nice. I'd like to think that you did that all yourself, but I'm sure that there was quite a fair amount of delegation that was involved.
There was a fair amount of delegation, but I decided what I needed. Yes. Oh, there's some chilies as well.
Chilies are good.
Chilies are good. Apparently, though, if you plant different variations of chili, eventually they all become the same.
Really?
They cross-pollinate with each other. And eventually, so if you have habaneros and jalapenos and bird's eye, whatever they're called, they all mix up and eventually they make their own kind of middle of the road chili, which suits me. I don't need to have, you know, absolute terror in my digestive tract, but it would be nice to know that you can have different ones. Apparently, though, if they grow too near each other, then you end up with one kind of chili.
I didn't know that, but I did know that you had to plant all sorts of vegetables together because some chase the bugs away the other vegetables.
That's what the gardener told us the other day.
I live in an apartment, so I've got a veranda with many pots of plants, as you see.
Yes, but you grew up on a farm. You know all of this.
I need a lot of space. So I plant everything that I come to.
In window boxes?
Everything. I've got two huge avo trees growing out of... They're so big that I've had several complaints from the body corporates. But I've got a huge avo tree growing off my veranda. I said, catch me if you can.
Well, I'm an expert with one day of having a vegetable garden. I'm a complete expert. That's why I'm telling you about the
congratulations.
Very exciting, though. I think I'm doing extremely well. This is my favorite project of the year so far.
How exciting.
Okay. We need to talk about the wheel of emotions. And I think this is something where you can get really stuck in. So the wheel of emotions is this thing apparently that psychologists use to help people figure out what they're feeling. You know, some people have no ability to actually figure out, am I sad? Am I depressed? Am I anxious? Am I nervous? Am I hugely furious? Yeah. People don't understand. They need to see this wheel, and then I'll explain my version of the wheel. So put up the clean version of the wheel of emotions, and I'll just give you a quick run through of some of the things, all right? Because they're quite a lot, and we don't need to talk about all of them. Where's my phone? Here it is. Okay, so you've got the yellow section, which is happy. And it's only about, what is that, a quarter, maybe less than a quarter, about a fifth of the wheel, okay? And in there, on the outside, so you start off and you ask yourself, am I playful, content, interested, proud, accepted, powerful, peaceful, trusting, or optimistic? And then in the outer ring, you have aroused, cheeky, free, joyful, curious, inquisitive, successful, confident, respected, valued, courageous, creative, loving, thankful, sensitive, intimate, hopeful, or inspired. All sound good, right?
Right.
All come from happy. Next one up is surprised. Surprise. Surprised is...
love being surprised.
Now, startled, not so much. Maybe. Oh, who knows?
Depends.
Okay, so startled.
Depends what startled you.
Confused, amazed, and excited. And then you obviously get the outside of the wheel there. I'm not going to go through all of these. Don't worry. But my point is being made because I actually only care about the purple and the yellow parts. I think the rest are very, very depressing and should be ignored at all costs. Just pretend they don't exist.
Well,
no need for any of those. If you've got the green, which is bad, well, what does Beyonce's husband say, Jay-Z? If you feeling bad, I feel what? If you got problems, I'm feeling bad for you, son. Got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Right.
Okay, so bad is pointless. Fearful, again, really, who has the time? Angry. It's okay to be angry for a little bit, but yeah, after a couple of minutes, you've got to move on.
It's quite a powerful emotion.
Disgusted is the gray part. Ooh. Yeah, that breaks down.
Why did they make it gray?
Well, I don't know, but
they should have made it army green.
If you go to the outside of that one, it's judgmental, embarrassed, appalled, revolted, nauseated, detestable, horrified, and hesitant. And then sad at the bottom. Sad. So sad. So look at all of the negative emotions from the green all the way around to the blue. That's almost, you know, two-thirds, I would say, of the wheel.
Yeah.
So people are mostly in those.
Right.
Which is dreadful.
Well, over and above that, they can be in 30 of those in a day.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably supposed to go through a few of these every day, but I don't know. Maybe you as a coach can help me understand what gets people stuck in, you know, hostile, for example. I mean, if you're hostile all the time, that's very exhausting. You're constantly hostile.
Sure. It's a very interesting question, and it's subjective based on person to person, because there are various different reasons what could keep somebody stuck in hostile. I think I think that the biggest thing for me, what I'll talk about hostile now and then I want to go back to another thing, is that what would keep somebody in being hostile is not wanting to be hostile. So thinking, I'm feeling very hostile. I don't want to be hostile. Why am I hostile?
And then they just get stuck in a
circle. That's it, because there's that great saying, what you resist persists.
Right.
What you resist persists.
Well, I have a simple solution. So here's my version of the wheel of emotions. All right. And I've helpfully, look at this, I've helpfully crossed out all the bits that you could just ignore. Okay?
Doesn't work like that.
Oh, come on. It works for me.
Well, it doesn't.
I wake up in the morning and I go, yellow part only, please. Just cross out the rest.
You can absolutely choose to exist the majority of your time in that section. There's no doubt about it.
You're a happy person.
I am a happy person, but that does not to say that I don't feel hostile every now and again.
Are you feeling hostile now?
Well,
do I need to call the security?
Well, you know, and or let's see, let's find another one. Fearful. I felt rather fearful when I arrived this morning. It was very early. The building was empty. And as I said, I felt I was arriving at a potential murder scene.
Yeah, you thought you were coming here for a snuff
film. Yeah, for a snuff film. It was very quiet. So there are a number of different emotions that you could experience. But yes, I think if you can make a choice to be in the happy for the most part, but there's also work that needs to go into that.
Well, I mean, here, Raven says, why is there more negative than positive in the wheel? It makes me feel victimized. Well, you see, that's also become a thing, though. I mean, I think it's going out of fashion slowly, but people have enjoyed being in victim because they get attention.
Oh, shame.
And especially on social media and, you know, on TV talk shows and places where people have become famous. Being a victim got you lots of pity and sympathy and attention. And that's what people want a lot of the time because they didn't get enough of it as children. So they go, if I can't be noticed for being fantastic, because that's really hard, imagine actually having to wake up and invent something or be clever and useful or help somebody else or make a positive contribution to society. Instead of that, because that's really hard, I can just go, woe is me. And then someone will go, shame. Let me help you. You're poor you.
Yes.
And they love being a victim. People love it. It's so easy because you don't have to earn it. It's just you find something in your life that makes you slightly uncomfortable. Oh, there's something in my shoe.
Well, victims can't generate their own happiness. So they make other people feel sorry for them in order to solicit the energy that they would be generating
they can't
themselves.
Generate, say it again.
Well, they can't generate their own happiness.
Right. Love it.
So they solicit energy from other people by guilt tripping them or making them feel bad about them. You get people that are sort of mid-entry-level victims.
And that's what makes me hostile.
Mid-level victims and then turbo victims. And turbo.
What's a turbo victim?
Jesus. Turbo victims.
Tell me, have you ever had one of these people come to you and say, can you help me? What's a turbo victim?
A turbo victim is one of those people that has got the propensity, a skill, almost honed a skill, to take any positive and find the negative within seconds. They don't even have to think about it. They've lived in the space.
I know people like that.
Yes. I went to a function the other day out of my professional capacity as a coach. I went to a function. It was a birthday party. I bumped into somebody that I haven't seen for years. And I started having a conversation with them. And I hadn't had a chance to say hello to everyone else. I'd just arrived. I was quite excited about the evening. Well, fuck. 15 minutes later, I looked at them and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to stop you. You've drained the life out of me. In fact, I said, I'm not entirely sure that I'm actually going to be able to stay at this party. I'm going now. It's been interesting to see you. I got to go.
Was this someone you knew before or was it someone?
No, it was an acquaintance. It was somebody that I knew through somebody else who was thrilled to see me. I mean, she's only human, but you know.
But she was draining.
Fuck. What did she do? Out of me. Well, I mean, the first mistake I made was to say,
how are you?
How are you?
And what did she say?
Well, not great. Not great. Then I made the second cardinal mistake. I said, why?
And you should have just shut up and moved on.
I should have said, John, I'm sorry. See you later. I said, why? What's happened?
Oh, shit.
Well, I was confused. I just arrived. I was excited. I wasn't thinking straight. I hadn't put on my anti-victim armor yet. I wasn't expecting it. I was at a friend's birthday party. And so it went. Her dog, her parents, her friends, her job, her boss, this country, tax. I mean, I just found myself going, oh, as she sucked the life out of me.
A turbo victim.
Turbo victims. They're energy vampires.
Yeah. We all know people vampires. Like that.
You know those people, and I've got much better at it now. I was younger then. I've got much better now. I can feel them coming energetically as they start approaching me. And I say,
I wish I'd had you around a while ago, because I went away for a weekend with some friends.
Oh my God.
And the one guy hadn't introduced us to his girlfriend, and she was going to come along. And
that's a mistake.
Oh, well, we all said, oh, it's fine. You know, he's a nice guy. How bad could she possibly be? Mm. She's probably going to be lovely. Yeah, optimistic, happy people. We expect everyone to be optimistic and happy too. Anyway, this girl she had powers beyond your friend that you just told us about now. Because that one is just a moaning, you know.
Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle. This one was way more powerful. She had reached levels of. See, you're already breathing with difficulty. I'll tell you what she did.
What is it called? The boss. What was she's the thing that you faced like in Double Dragon?
She's like the level. She's the boss.
The boss of the level.
The boss of the bosses.
Yeah.
This girl was, and she's young. She's probably late 20s. And she didn't even have to do or say anything. In fact, she was just around and she managed to suck all the energy out of the room.
They
sucked
the color out of the room.
So everyone, we were talking and laughing and having fun, and everybody was being, you know, a bit silly and kind of, you know, when you're around people that you know well. And this, she just put the brakes on everything. She went and just sat and looked at everybody, not judgmentally or anything, but just looked at us like we were aliens, and made everybody stop and feel uncomfortable and recalibrate. You know, like when there's a complete stranger in the room and you're not sure whether they are evil,
yes,
or whether they're
casting an enchantment.
Very, very. I'm telling you, some witch, something going on there. Casting, and she just destroyed the entire vibe. And every room we'd all move to, she'd come in after us and destroy it again. She had supreme powers of that.
And just sitting quietly by herself.
Just quiet. She hardly said a word. I tried to make conversation. So I said to her, because she said to me, I've met you before.
What?
I've met you before. So I said, where? And she said, oh, at Cliff Central once. And I said, oh, what were you doing there? And she gave me some half-assed explanation about how her boss was interviewed and she came with him. But of course, I wouldn't remember her because she's also very plain. She's the plainest person you've ever met in your life. And then, you know, by about five words from there into the conversation, I realized like I was never going to get purchase. Like right. She was the kind of person who you can be intensely interested in someone. And even if they're very shy or they're very insecure, you can sometimes find a thing to talk to them about it could be, you know, her pets or something. There was nothing. So there's no connection.
Interestingly enough.
Social black holes, says Morgs. That's exactly what they are.
Absolutely what it is.
Social black holes.
And it doesn't matter how positive you are.
No.
You know, I've got a boundless amount of positivity. I'm a generally positive human being. I choose to live as often as I can in the happy space. It serves
the yellow
me.
Part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To sometimes the others, the, you know, so what was
mostly
the one?
Mostly the yellow part.
Yeah, what was the one you said? Fury, what was it?
Hostile.
Sometimes I'm hostile. But that's very briefing because I'm able to question my way through it.
Sure.
But, you know, with regards to that girl that you've just been talking about, what's so interesting, and it's something that I think about a lot with you and I and our various siblings, in that the three sort of main personality types that develop for human beings as a child are the you know, you learn to solicit love. So your mind has to find a way to make sure that you are going to continue to be loved and looked after by your parents.
Yeah.
And the three main ones that come are, the first one is the happy child, the clown, which you and I both are, which is why we spend the majority of our time unhappy.
Yeah.
And that's the child that does something ridiculous or is very funny or is very confident or very gregarious, and their parents go, isn't he funny?
Yeah.
look at what he's doing.
So you get your dopamine hit from your parents saying how clever and funny you are.
Right. Gosh, he's so clever. Oh, you're so good looking. Oh,
definitely.
You speak so well. You know, you're
all
standing
of that stuff.
On a table at three reciting, you know, Desiderata eloquently. And your parents are going,
yeah. So and what are the other two?
The other two, well, there's the child with this is now your and my siblings.
Yeah.
Okay. Not necessarily Sandy, but certainly John and Robert.
Yeah.
The children that realize that they're never going to be as nice as the other children. So they learn how to solicit the love and energy from their parents by behaving like fuckwits. Okay. And that is when their Mari biscuit breaks.
Yes.
Instead of going,
yes,
look, Mom, my Mari biscuit broke, ha ha, like we would, they let out a blood-curdling scream, grab the bone china, and smash 30 plates. Okay? So that what happens, and it doesn't matter what the parents' response is, they could, I mean, in those days, we'd be hit.
Yeah, okay. Beaten.
Beaten. And it doesn't matter how hard you beat a child like that, the more you deal with them, the more they scream.
Yes, because creating the
correct
the feedback loop.
Right. And the only way that they stop screaming is when the parent goes, don't worry, it's fine that you've just broken the 48,000 rand piece of art that I bought. You're still loved and you're still wonderful. No problem. So they learn to solicit their energy from having a tantrum, from being... from throwing their toys out the cots.
Yeah.
And then you get the third child that disappears. You get the child that something happens and they just go very quietly off into their bedroom and they sit behind the bed, behind the curtain. And they can sit there for hours, depending on how drunk their parents are, until their parents notice that they're gone. And then the parent will rush in and say, oh my God, Susie. Where have you been, Susie? I've been looking for you. Mummy was so worried. Never do that again. And Susie realizes it by being very quiet and not engaging.
Good.
Good.
Being a good child.
Not good. Quiet. Disappearing. Oh, quiet. Right.
Okay, all right.
Quiet.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference. Not good. We're the good ones. So there's good, there's bad, and there's absent. And the chick that you were talking about on your trip is the absent child. That's her thing.
Oh God!
She walked into a room waiting for people to rush at her and give her the attention.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, I can think of people I know who fit into all three categories.
Well, of course you can, because, you know, those are the three main ones.
Oh, I think that's...
Professionals all over the country will be shouting that there's more. But yes, those are just the four. Those are just three of them.
I think that's fascinating. And watching the way people behave as adults, you can kind of track back and see what kind of children.
Of course.
They were. I mean, none of the to only pick on the negative of each one would be wrong because they all have positive as well.
Of course, their strengths are innumerable.
So, what are the strengths of the child who tantrums?
Well, they're generally hugely determined.
Yeah.
Massively, they have a drive.
Driven, yeah.
They have a drive that is generally unmatched, because when they decide they want something, they will get it and they will continue to do that until they get what they want.
Yeah.
Generally, personality types like you and my, well, I think that you've never really got into that, but personality types like ours can be people pleasers. So very prone to making sure that...
I've almost gone the opposite way.
You're cantankerous is the word I would look for, I would go with.
Yeah.
That people pleasing to the extent of their own detriment. So just make sure everyone's fine, everybody's happy and not feeling like going out, but going out anyway, because they secure their love and their security in the group by being the clown, the life of the party. Gareth, you know, you...
No, I got you.
It's there.
No, it's absolutely there.
It's there. And then the absent, what is their strength? The ability to be very quiet for a very long time.
Camouflage.
To blind the radar.
And sometimes that gives them the ability to read a situation better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Because they're not in it.
Yeah. Outliers.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right. So we've got Nick Clothis and Claren with us this morning. He's my oldest friend, and I thought it would be fun to bring him in. We actually did have you on before when you were you had your cloud dating platform.
That's right.
We were talking about that. That's one of the other businesses that he has. And he's also got an events business too. So lots of interesting things to talk about there. We've got Zelda Lachransi joining us in a short while. She is, of course, the former assistant to President Nelson Mandela, a woman of, she's got a contact book like you cannot believe. I found out reading this book of hers, her new book, that she was invited by Jeff Bezos of Amazon to go to a ranch for a weekend where all these terrifically interesting, famous, and brilliant people got to just spend time with each other around gubomas, with drinks parties. The only rule was that you weren't allowed to have your phone so that, you know, so people weren't like doing selfies the whole time or whatever. But famous people, rich people, brilliant people. I mean, it sounds like it could have been a lot of fun there.
It's giving me P. Diddy vibes.
Oh, God. Speaking of P. Diddy. All right, so listen, here's the latest update on P. Diddy. So apparently, he was confronted with 6 new sexual abuse lawsuits on Monday, just yesterday. 2 days ago, including one accusing the rap mogul of assaulting a minor. The civil lawsuits were filed a month after Combs was criminally charged for what prosecutors described as a long-running scheme of sex trafficking and racketeering. I mean, he makes Epstein look...
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, kind of good by comparison. Adult or minor, man or woman, he has never assaulted anyone, according to his lawyers. The lawsuits were filed in New York and by anonymous plaintiffs. So they don't want anyone to know who they are because they're obviously embarrassed about what happened. And they accused Combs of assaulting him when they were minors. The plaintiff alleged that during a party at Combs's Hamptons mansion in 1998, a long time ago, the rapper directed him to drop his pants and fondled his genitals. Very nice. Very nice. And then this apparently is just one of the cases that will be taken up in court. So not looking good for P. Diddy. He's looking worse than ever.
I think the evidence is overwhelming.
No, not good at all. This is, however, much more fun. So here's a video of Taylor Swift. The first time I've ever seen her do anything mildly amusing. Take a look at this and tell me if you agree. And we need sound for this as well. All right, I do love that. I love it so much. You got to play it again, especially when she does those very, very strange dance moves. Only time I've ever found Taylor Swift amusing. All right, when we come back, you think you've got a terrible rush hour. P. Diddy make Epstein look like a choir boy, says Steve. Sure, and that's some achievement. I don't think P. Diddy was
the church
of
Satan.
P. Diddy wasn't the quiet child who used to disappear.
Definitely not the quiet child.
All right, so coming up in a moment or two, you think your rush hour is difficult. You think that it's difficult to get through Joburg traffic or Cape Town traffic. You've seen nothing until you've seen Tokyo. And it will give you goosebumps. It'll make the hair on the back of your head stand up. That's how horrible it is. And yet people do this every single day. It's coming up and a whole lot more. It is 7 o'clock, time for a quick break.